In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel today is the story where the rubber meets the road for Jesus' ministry. It's the story of the world's epiphany put into action. Starting with the Christmas story, we followed how the Holy Family came to be. We heard the incredible story of how a baby born in an insignificant place, in a very insignificant manner, was the light of the world and the King of Kings. And John's Gospel spoke of this moment using poetry of how light was both human and divine, how the light would come and be here on earth, and how the light would both be rejected and accepted by his own kind. And so today, we continue with John's Gospel, and we learn how this baby, the light of the world, now a man, begins his ministry. And it starts simple. He begins by going to Galilee. And when he gets there, he walks up to Philip and says, "Follow me." That's simple. Nothing dramatic. No healings. No walking on water. Nothing particularly extraordinary. Just a man from humble beginnings saying, "Follow me." The extraordinary part is Philip's reaction in my mind. He drops everything and follows Jesus. So picture this. You're at the grocery store or gardening, and someone you've never seen before walks up to you and says, "Follow me." And you drop everything. Groceries in hand, you drop your gardening tools and follow him. Now, of course, I'm not suggesting the next person that comes up to you and says, "Follow me," that you drop everything and actually follow him. But what I am suggesting is that it's the reaction that's extraordinary. Some people, like Philip, can see God and know God the moment God makes contact. He knew God as soon as he saw Jesus. We also heard another story, Samuel, where Samuel woke up in the middle of the night, ran to Eli and said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "I didn't call you." And Samuel did that not once, but twice, but three times before Eli recognized what was going on and said, "Hey, it ain't me calling you, it's God." So unlike Samuel, Philip knew right away. And we learned of yet a third disciple in today's story, Nathanael. I love it. Philip runs to him under the fig tree, and he says, "Come and see, do you know about this Jesus?" And Nathanael's reaction is, "Could there be anything good coming out of Nazareth?" Really what he's saying is, why, if this man is so important, would he be coming from such a non-important place like Nazareth? But Nathanael takes a little bit of convincing, and he sees it after he checks it out. And as soon as he meets Jesus, he knows that that is God. Last week, Father Jim reminded us that we are all called by God in all sorts of different ways. I wonder, where have you seen and known God? Where have you, in your life, been called by God? And of course, you know, preaching the sermon a week and a half after my ordination here at St. Francis, the story is conjured up the moment that Bishop Curry from my Diocese of North Carolina came. It reminded me of how I was called to God. You see, I am more like, if I was to compare myself to all the disciples, I'm more like Samuel in the Old Testament story than Philip. God had to wake me up from my slumber several times to drill it into me, into my head, how I was being called. You see, for several times throughout my life, I knew for some reason I wasn't in the right place in the right time for me. Other people did too. In college, I had an amazing experience at a conference with youth, and I was so excited. I told the chaplain at my university what was going on and what I had learned and this amazing conference that I was at. And she just looked at me and she said, "You know, I think this would be really great if you were able to share this with somebody else. Share this with the group." And what was supposed to be like a little 5-minute conversation in the course of a week had grown and grown and grown until I was preaching the sermon and she had invited everybody I knew to come. And after the sermon, which was a very terrifying experience, I have to say, I was asked by my religion professor, "What are you going to do with your life? What's in the works?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to be a teacher." And he said, "I don't think so. I think you're called to be a priest." And my reaction? I laughed. By the way, he knows now. We've had that conversation. "You're right." But I laughed. And I knew that I was called to do something extraordinary. And I didn't know what my vocation was. Just like each one of us are called to be extraordinary. And I thought maybe I could find it in the Peace Corps for me. And Peace Corps was an amazing experience. And it was ministry. It truly was. But something inside of me kept saying, it isn't the right place for you right now. In Peace Corps, I worked in Eastern Europe. And after my 2-year service, the recommendation I could only see and give was that the people needed hope. That education's great, and teacher training is fantastic, and learning about how government works is a good place for Peace Corps, and that is ministry. But what I saw in the people and really wanted to give the people was hope. I wanted to be there to witness to the hope so they can see it. And that wasn't a place for a Peace Corps volunteer at that time. Again, I think God was calling me and saying, "Hey, Peace Corps volunteer, good idea, but this isn't you. That's not your vocation." And finally, I thought, well, maybe my vocation is being a teacher. And I did, again, I think, great ministry in the classroom. But when 9/11 happened, and my students stood there, I felt the pastoral care that they needed, that I, as a public school teacher, should not give. I felt it. I felt their needs deep down and within my heart. And that's when finally I decided to talk about, what is this? Where is God calling me? And, you know, I'm telling you my story, not so you can look at it and say, look, here's a person who had it straight. She knew she was being called by God for the beginning, and she was ordained last week, and this is how ministry is supposed to be. No. I'm telling you this story so that you know that I, like Samuel, had to be someone who hit every roadblock along the way to hear God's dream for me. Had to be hit over and over again in the head by a 2x4 with God to say, hey, this is your vocation. This is where you're to be right here, right now. I'm someone who turns left at every right and hits every roadblock. So I guess I'm saying, if God is patient enough to deal with a disciple like me, surely God is patient for everyone. And my story isn't unique. You each have a story. Every single one of you. You are each called to God. We all have special vocations that God is calling us. What is your story? How is God calling you? Bishop Curry, in his sermon, said something that really struck me and has stuck with me. He said, God has a dream for us. I love that image, that God dreams for us. And that if one person is able to tap into that dream, just tap into it for a little bit, can do amazing things. He mentioned people like Desmond Tutu and other amazing people who could tap into the dream, could see it and try to live it out in their own lives. But today's story, today's gospel reminds us that God's light is in unlikely places of the world and in unlikely places of the heart. And that in those places is where God does amazing things. So I guess what I'm saying is that God doesn't just do amazing things with amazing people. God does amazing things in the least expected places. God does amazing things in my heart and yours. So if one person taps into that dream, imagine what a community can do if they all tapped into that dream. You know, this has been one of the most incredible months of my life, and I have to say thank you. I say this partly, only partly, because my feet are just now beginning to touch the ground after an amazing ordination. And the most memorable experience, by the way, was the part I could wish I could capture in a little bottle and carry with me always, was the blessings you gave me this week. My ordination would not have been complete without them. Thank you. But the other thing that has made this month so incredible is this community. It's being here at St. Francis now. After being here for 6 months, I can definitely say there's something in the air here at St. Francis. I've heard that St. Francis is a can-do community, and I've seen that in action. But there's something more. There's something more than just can-do. You know, last week we had a consultant come in, and I know you'll hear more about it from Sarah. But he remarked on it too. He said that there's something in the air that's tangible. It's almost palpable. That's what he said. St. Francis is a community that yearns for more. St. Francis is a community who's prepared to take the next step, whatever that next step is. We have said, yes, we will follow you, God. It's like saying, hey, God, I'm ready. Bring it on. I think that something in the air is St. Francis tapping into the dream. We're trying to realize God's dream for the world here in Palos Verdes. We are saying, yes, Lord, we will follow you. But where shall we go? And what shall we do? We're ready for that rubber to hit the road. Next week, we have an annual meeting. And this is a great place for us to look at where we've been and where we're going. And I encourage you, as faithful members of this community, to think about where God is leading you in your vocation here. And where is St. Francis leading? Where is God leading St. Francis? Think about it. Pray about it. And be with us next week as we talk about that. How is God calling us? Amen.